and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Isaiah 9, verse 6b through verse 7a. 4. Upon his shoulder. Our text speaks of the work that Christ does by referring to his government, verses 6 through 7, and showing us that he reigns. Verse 6 tells us that he takes the government on his shoulders, but which government? We can see in verse 7 that it is his government. It is his kingdom that he came to establish on earth. He came to institute the kingdom of God and of heaven. This is a reference to the rule of God over people. God prepared for the inauguration of his kingdom across thousands of years of history. All Old Testament history is a record of that preparatory work. Isaiah mentions the throne of David in verse 7, indicating that this child will be established on it. It is an allusion to the promise that was given to David in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 13. The birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus bears full responsibility for the establishment of his kingdom. It is on his shoulder, and he was born to establish it and uphold it. So he will do so with justice, so that no one will be subject to injustice. He will also do so with righteousness, so that God will be seen as completely holy and always righteous. The birth of Jesus represents the beginning of the culmination of all the Old Testament prophecies related to the coming of God's kingdom. That is why Jesus announced the presence of God's kingdom when he began his public ministry. Mark 1, verses 14 through 15. It is also why Jesus answered Pilate the way he did when he was on trial before his crucifixion. John 18, verse 37. He didn't much look like a king when he stood before the Roman governor. He was bruised, bleeding, and dirty. But he was on the brink of securing his kingdom once and forever by his death on the cross. By his crucifixion, Jesus, our great king, did everything necessary to rescue us from the sin and brokenness of this world. He was securing the salvation of all his people, everyone who would ever bow to him and receive him as Lord. He expands his government forever. Not only will his kingdom never end, but the increase of his kingdom will also never end. The rule of Jesus Christ will continue to increase across the world and throughout the ages. This government, this kingdom, this rule is all on his shoulders now, because he has established it by his life, death, and resurrection. And he sits enthroned today at the right hand of God, from where he will return on the appointed day to consummate and complete that which was begun when, as a child, he was born and, as a son, he was given. That future is going to happen. It is why Jesus could say after his resurrection, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Matthew 28, verse 18. He is Lord of all lords and King of all kings. Though it may not look like it, he is ruling and reigning right now, weaving everything together toward that final day in history when he will bring his kingly conquest to a close and dispense with all his enemies. Questions. 1. Why is it significant that Jesus sits on the throne of David? 2. How did Jesus begin to reign as king of a redeemed people even when he was on the cross? 3. It sounds cruel in modern times that Christ must dispense with all his enemies. Why is this a necessary kingly act on the part of Christ?